Unlike when we go to a funeral and we remember someone's life, or we see a screen or a presentation of all the people who have died in the movie industry or in a particular community, the acknowledgement of these lives, these names, these people, is really a political act. It is about witnessing and remembering and naming and holding up acts of violence and injustice. It is not, strictly speaking, a moment of grief, although we cannot help but mourn the lives cut short. These lives lost, and I encourage you to take a look at their faces, represent the reality that violence has come to the streets of our nation, directed by our own government, in ways that we have not seen in some time, for generations, really. There is much to be said about how we came here, and there is much more to be said about how we can and we will respond. But those conversations are not the same as the powerful act of witnessing and naming what is happening around us. This is a time and a ritual in which we must not confuse emotional expression with moral response. While we may attend to the one, we must be very strong in the other. As we decide what we are going to do next, we have to be grounded. We have to be prepared to meet the challenges ahead of us. We need to be clear-eyed and refrain from despair or revenge or retribution or retaliatory violence or really even defensive violence. We have to hold close to our hearts our love of life, all life, life itself in every form. We cannot give way to the chaos and rage around us. We must not respond from a place ruled by raging demons or self-destructive forces. I tell you, there is an inevitability about this moment of history. Certain forces have been put in motion, and we will see and be confronted by more violence and chaos before this is done. Any moment and any movement that we can find to move out of the chaos is very far away. There are no quick answers, no simple actions. This journey is going to be long, and finding a way forward is not going to be easy. Frustration, fear, and anger can turn us into the very people we don't want to be. We can be pushed by our own inner dark forces and be tempted to fling ourselves into the abyss of despair because we cannot bear what is before us. Eddy Hillesum died in Auschwitz at the age of 29, not a lot different from the deaths that these people have experienced. But before that, she lived just as these people have lived. She lived with energy and creativity. She was well aware of the hatred the Nazis had for Jews, had for her. She was aware of their anti-Semitic madness. But in her diary, I have come to find some inspiration when I am struggling with my own inner turmoil. I find I have those experiences of temptation to fall into despair, to fall apart morally, to want to rage. Her words have so much to teach us about the art of living well, and I don't mean that eating, drinking, dancing, and making merry, although she did that too, but in the sense of being anchored in the very life force that moves us to be courageous, to be creative, and to move us to preserve life wherever we find it. So I want to read you those words that I find inspiring. She was talking about some artist that she knew, but I'm thinking about you and the activists, my friends in Minneapolis, who are daily blowing whistles and surrounding people in need of care. She is speaking to the activist, the artist, and the citizen in all of us. And you can read along if you like. There are moments, she says, in which it is suddenly brought home to me why creative artists take to drink, become dissipated, lose their way, etc. The artist really needs a very strong character if he is not to go to pieces morally, not to lose his bearings. I don't know quite how to put it properly, but I feel it very strongly in myself at certain moments. All my tenderness, all my emotions, this whole swirling soul lake, soul sea, soul ocean, whatever you want to call it, wants to pour out then and be allowed to flow into just one short poem. But I also feel, if only I could, like flinging myself headlong into an abyss, losing myself to drink. After each creative act, one has to be sustained by one's strength of character, by a moral sense, but I don't know what, lest one tumble, God knows how far, and pushed by what dark impulse. I sense it inside myself, even in my most fruitful and creative inner moments, there are raging demons and self-destructive forces. Still, I feel that I am learning to control myself, even in those moments. That is when I suddenly have the urge to kneel down in some quiet corner, to rein myself in, and to make sure that my energies are not wildly dissipated. I'm going to invite you into just a few moments to take a look inward and ask yourself, what are those inner demons, the raging sentiments that are tempting you to your lesser self? And what are those moral sensibilities that keep you grounded and call you to your better self? Greet them both and know that their struggle is human.
So the picture on the front of the program, the copies here are just in black and white, but there's also, it's a picture that's colored. And I visited Cambodia with my niece and my sister, as I have a niece who was adopted from there. And there was a man selling cards that he was painting on just copy paper outside one of the temples, and I had picked up that card. But as Liz Strand and I were talking beforehand, she said, he kind of looks like Don Quixote. I thought, that's great, Don Quixote on a bike. Dream the impossible dream. So as many of you know, I'm part of a Franciscan community of Little Falls, Minnesota. Yes, Minnesota? Our Franciscan community is made up of 70 vowed women and 240-some women and men in the U.S. and Latin America who are associates. We are people of various faiths and practices, people from various walks of life who are inspired by the faith, spirit, and values of Francis of Assisi. And we aspire to live them out loud and in full color. Some of us even call ourselves faithful fools. We are inspired by sacred texts like the prophet Micah that is on the wall of the church here. For those of you who are in the sanctuary, you can see it. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We take seriously the call to be peacemakers and good troublemakers in this world, wherever we are, however we are able. Francis of Assisi was more than a crazy mendicant that preached to birds, blessed animals, and wandered through the streets rubbing sticks together like he was playing a violin. He was more than a garden ornament. He was a human being who knew the world as his cloister. He knew community and relationships with all beings as his cloister. Francis could not sit passively by as people were going hungry or being dehumanized or shunned to the edge of society due to illness, or as people were being imprisoned unjustly, or as he witnessed the horror of religious wars and violence that raged around him. He lived during the time of the Crusades. As a passionate follower of Jesus, his mandates came from the Gospels. Sell all and give it to the poor. Do unto others what you would want them to do unto you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. A quote often associated with Francis, preach at all times, and when necessary, use words. It is the integrity of how he lived his life, how he preached with his life, that today, 800 years after his death, his legacy as a peacemaker lives on. As he sent followers into the world, into the streets, and his spirit continues to send us, he told them to greet people with peace and live among them as brothers, as siblings, as relatives. He was known to say to his followers and townspeople, while you are proclaiming peace with your lips, be careful to have it even more fully in your heart. While we proclaim peace with our lips, may we be careful to have it even more in our hearts. Oh, how sweet the sound of such words, and oh, how hard to live them. It isn't any easier for us now than it was for Francis and his followers in the 1200s. And yet we cannot wane in our aspirations, our longings to breathe life into these words with our actions and our words. The story is told that as Francis laid on his deathbed, he said to the people around him, to his brothers, I have done what is mine to do. Now you do yours. And so we need to do what is ours to do now. We cannot afford to give way to despair, even though it is tempting as violence and violations in so many forms are raging near and far. I and we need to walk our talk, live our faith and principles and social justice proclamations out loud for the long haul, as many are already doing. Give rides, donate food, resist, march with peace in our hearts, cry and be angry at times and feel grief at what we witness. Have your power tools, maybe a purple nose or earrings from Cambodia that were made out of bullet shells from the war there. Maybe purple shoes. March with peace in our hearts. Cry and be angry at times and feel grief at what we witness. We can sing or do the power Macarena to restore ourselves and then carry on. We cannot give up our visions of a more just world, a more peaceful world, a world where all have life and have it to the full, where all have life and have it to the full. So we hear the words of Francis, I have done what is mine to do. Now let us do ours. So I invite you now into a time of meditation. Feel your feet firmly placed, wherever that may be. Or you may want to even place your hand on your heart, where it is that we seek to have peace. This is also a time to remember those who have gone before us. And if you have lost someone close to you in the past year, we invite you to stand or raise your hand in silent witness to this loss. I offer these words adapted from the peace prayer that is dedicated to Francis of Assisi. May I be an instrument of peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me sow pardon. Where there is doubt, let me sow faith. Where there is despair, let me sow hope. Where there is darkness, let me sow light. And where there is sadness, let me sow joy. So let us sit and listen for a moment within ourselves of what is ours to do.